Judy, thank you for choosing all that wonderful music. They fit in perfectly with Therefore Choose Life, which is not going to be the sermon this morning. I wrote it, I liked it, but then Arizona happened. And even though I touched on issues of immigration and xenophobia 2 weeks ago, I need to revisit this, because what happened to me is so transgressive of our Constitution and so challenging to what I consider to be the soul of this nation that I can't just do a regular sermon. I think that Friday is one of those days that is going to live in infamy. When Governor Jan Brewer signed that law that made skin color effectively probable cause for being stopped and for legal authorities to demand your papers. This is so transgressive, and what makes it transgressive is the shift from prejudice as practice, and prejudice is practice and has been practiced against all kinds of people, but when the prejudice is memorialized in law, it really changes everything, in my view. Now, most of what I'm going to be talking about in this morning's sermon is not about immigration. It's about our Constitution. It's about our laws. And I do understand that countries have a right to control their borders, that countries have a right to control immigration, that countries have a right to create what conditions people are allowed to work in. All countries do exercise these rights. I'm not talking precisely about that. I will be talking about some of our hypocrisy around that. But what I am talking about is our Constitution that is supposed to deal not with people's individual status, but with the broad areas where people are created with the expectation of equal protection by the law. We certainly have a right to talk about immigration, to feel happy, welcoming, frightened, whatever it is that we want to feel. We don't have a right to change our Constitution and what is fundamental to our identity as a nation. Not strictly our practice as a nation, because we have persecuted and oppressed many people, but we have now just made it legal. But people said, well, but we feel overwhelmed. We're losing our country. The people are pouring in, and we have to do something. Legal and illegal immigration are legitimate issues, just as crime is a legitimate issue. But we don't throw out the Constitution when a crime has been committed, or at least we're not supposed to. And when we do throw out the Constitution to cut to the chase because we think somebody is guilty, or we stop someone because of their skin color or of their ethnicity, it usually is eventually thrown out of court. We are not allowed, because a black person is seen robbing a bank, to stop every black person in the, well, male, in the neighborhood. We do it, but it's not legal. And if we were to make it legal, it would be a fundamental shift in our law and how we understand the Constitution. We are not allowed to draw a legal conclusion because 19 of the hijackers on 9/11 were Arabs and Muslims. We don't get to just go into any Arab and Muslim home and search it. We don't get to stop anyone who looks plausibly Arab or Muslim, whatever that means, because we're scared. The Constitution is not there for when times are good. Its laws, its meaning, its general principles are there for when times are tough. It's easy to follow the Constitution when there's no threat. It's very hard when you are frightened, but that's when it is important. Now, this law in Arizona follows a tradition of bad laws, the Dred Scott decision, the internment of Japanese Americans, based on the fear of white people and the color of their skin and shape of their eyes. When ethnicity becomes probable cause, we run off the rails of our constitutional democracy. Now, just in case you think I'm being too serious and passionate here, let's talk about the light side of this. There actually is one. We are an irony-free zone. Who are the people who were marching and picketing to do this? Who wants to change the fundamentals of the Constitution and say, I don't need a warrant. I can just look at you and say, you know, you look like a foreigner to me. Do you have papers? You don't have papers? You're going to go in the detention camp. The people who are marching and picketing and carrying signage for this are the same people who are marching and picketing and saying, Obama's trying to steal my freedoms, take my liberties away. FEMA is building detention camps to put all the dissidents in, and they're now saying, well, let's take the Constitution away. Let's take the right to be protected from unlawful search and seizure away, and let's build some camps. Because if there are some 450,000 undocumented workers in Arizona, and there are some 16, 17 million in this country, well, we better get FEMA busy building those camps or repurposing the camps that were built by for the Japanese. This is an outrageous expression of fear and xenophobia. And it is not a question of equal protection. It is a question of brown skin. Driving while black, while still prosecuted and persecuted, is now living while brown. And don't think for a second that this is just about immigration, because as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, we're not talking about the Canadians. We're not talking about even the French. My second elbow at French today. We're not talking about Germans or Danes. Their accents are all charming. And their skin is white. That's not a coincidence. This is racism and nativism. And don't believe for a moment that even if we were somehow to let this pass and let this stand, that it would only affect those lawbreakers who are here illegally. Because when your brown skin becomes probable cause to be stopped, well, what about the brown skin of the people who were born here and the naturalized citizens? What about their skin and their accent and their dress and the people that they pal around with? The brush of prejudice is a very broad brush, and it stains the entire nation, and this kind of bill, this kind of law, has a toxic effect on the soul of this nation. And even rescinding it, overturning it, which I have every expectation that even this Supreme Court will eventually do, we have created a very bad precedent in those series of bad precedents, where we have shown our fear and not our sense and our sense of generosity. These are all important issues, but they're not fundamentally about immigration. They're fundamentally about the law. They're fundamentally about the Constitution. They're fundamentally about who we are as a nation, and what laws we decide to enforce, and how we express either our fear or our generosity. This is how important this kind of step is. Now, and I went to school in Vienna, as many of you know, and there's a statue in a place called Luegerplatz, which is a statue of the mayor, Dr. Karl Lueger, and he had the reputation of being an anti-Semite. Nothing particularly unusual about that in Vienna in the 19th century. But why was this anti-Semite different from all other anti-Semites? Because as mayor, he signed laws that took the practice and made them legal. He was referenced by Hitler in Mein Kampf as being one of Hitler's inspirations. When we take practice and turn it into law, we have changed something fundamental in how we see our fellow residents, how we see our neighbors, how we see people who, for one reason or another, we see as somewhat other. And believe me, all of us in this room are somewhat other to someone. So that puts us in a social contract. That puts us in a situation where we need to ask, how do we see our fellow human beings on this planet? I'm not saying burn down all the border crossings. I'm not saying open borders. I'm saying we need to deal with our law and our Constitution in hard times and in tough times. And this is a signal event. This is an iconic event that took place on Bad Friday that really puts a challenge to not simply our hearts, but to our laws. At various times in our society, we have marginalized, oppressed, and delegitimized Polish immigrants, Jewish immigrants. We have feared Italian immigrants. We have banned Asians and put Japanese into camps, and we kept black people as slaves and as chattel. These were not our finest moments, nor are these. This is supposed to be Commitment Sunday. I think that we have a social contract, an implied and sometimes expressed commitment to make our values, our souls, manifest in what we do, in what we say yes to, what we say no to, what we work for, and what we work against. Don't be distracted by the immigration part. Focus on how it is that we are legally making others into a different legal category. This, to me, is horrendous. We come together in this church to get the energy, one from another, not to have complete agreement on the great issues of life. I suspect the talk back may show that there's some difference in this congregation, and it's a safe place to have some differences. But we need the energy to engage our world. We need the energy when we look at the news and just feel, oh my God, can I just crawl up into the fetal position, turn the electric blanket up to 9, and withdraw from all of this? Can I put the newspapers down? Too many of you are. Can I turn off the news? Can I just have a moment here in the silence to nourish my soul? The answer is yes. We can become discouraged. But that's one of the many reasons that we come together in a group. Not to come out all the same after the magic handshake, but to get the energy to know that our examined values, when they are expressed in the business of our lives, makes a difference in this society. That when we, mostly the strong, stand up for the weak, the marginalized, the delegitimized, and the oppressed, it is a win-win situation. We are helping others, and we are reaffirming through practice what it is that we hold to be sacred and the work that is for us the holy. Being involved in the world, in this world, with and for real people, is how we practice our religion. We are not simply our abstract theology or even our lack of theology. We do not sing our hymns in order literally to accept every word of the poetry. We sing our hymns to have music move us. We sing our hymns to find our own small voices joined together in something greater. We sing our hymns to feel the buzz and the energy that we are not alone in our struggles. We are not alone in our despair. We are not alone in our triumph and in our joy. Here is one place where we come together to say yes to life, to say yes to each other, to say yes to fixing this beautiful, wounded world and help to heal the soul of those who have been hurt and to heal the soul of this nation and to honor the meaning of liberty as it is incarnated in the best understanding of our Constitution.